thank you, Eric and Peter. That was beautiful. Our scripture reading this morning, other than the one that Russ read, which was wonderful, is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 22 through 28, in the contemporary English version of the Bible. Now listen to what I have to say about Jesus from Nazareth. God proved that he sent Jesus to you by having him work miracles, wonders, and signs. All of you know this. God had already planned and decided that Jesus would be handed over to you. So you took him and had evil men put him to death on a cross. But God set him free from death and raised him to new life. Death could not hold him in its power. What David said are like the words of Jesus. I always see the Lord. He is always near me, and I will not be afraid with him by my side. Because of this, my heart will be glad, my words will be joyful, and I will live in hope. The Lord will not leave me in the grave. I am his holy one, and he will not let my body decay. He has shown me the path to life, and he makes me glad by being near me. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. So the man who is declaring these words in the scripture reading is Peter. You know Peter, Jesus' disciple, the guy who promised Jesus that he would never leave him or forsake him, and then about 2 hours later, he denies him three times, just like Jesus predicted he would. Peter, who walked away from the crucifixion scene weeping bitterly, disappointed with himself, disappointed that his expectations of who he thought Jesus was didn't seem to align with the reality surrounding him. But that was the same Peter who also was the one whom the Marys came running into and said, "Go to the tomb, Peter. You're going to find it empty." And he did. He was that Peter who went to Galilee and had an encounter with a resurrected Jesus on the seashores. And he was the Peter who was given the charge to build Christ's church and shepherd Christ's people. That Peter spoke these words in the book of Acts. And a lot has happened in Peter's life since Christ's ministry, death, and resurrection. And now we find the disciples in the upper room on the day of Pentecost in our story. They were trembling with fear, thinking, will we be crucified next? And they had hopeful belief that God would send the Holy Spirit as he had promised. And sure enough, God stays true to his word, and the Spirit comes rushing into the place. And thousands of people who have made the pilgrimage into Jerusalem hear this rushing wind and this noise and come into the courts to see what's going on. And all of the believers of Jesus start speaking in different languages, proclaiming the goodness of God. And there was, I'm sure, a mixture of belief. People who thought, God is real, and he is faithful, and he is showing up in a new way. And other people that were like, I have no idea what's going on, so these people must be drunk. Sounds familiar to me in my life. There's really no middle ground. So with the expectation, the crowd looks to Peter, and Peter affirms his belief in the risen Christ to the crowd. And that is what I want to talk to you about today, belief. Because belief is hard, and it's complicated, and it's emotional. Belief is a wild and mysterious blend of having faith in the things that we cannot see, great hope and anticipation of the things to come, trust in God and in other people to say and to believe who they're saying they are, and courage to persevere in what we know to be true, even when our emotions are telling us otherwise. But the problem with belief is that it can shatter, right? When we believe in something with every fiber of our being, and then later we discover that it's not true, it creates a hardening in our hearts, a cynicism inside of us that is difficult to come back from. And that is why I believe that a belief in God is one of the hardest things we as humans can do. Because when we believe in the things in this life that we can see and we experience, and we find out that we were wrong about those things, it becomes even more difficult to believe in a God that we cannot see and we cannot hear and wonder if we can even know. One of the things that they really stressed at Denver Seminary was for us to process our functional image of God. I'd never heard that term before, functional image, until I started at seminary. And I thought, of course I know what God is like. I'm studying all about God in that textbook called the Bible. But the more I was encouraged to deconstruct what I actually believed to be true about God, instead of just what I said to people I believed, what I felt like was appropriate to share, the more I realized that my view and my beliefs on God were more dysfunctional and fear-based and not based in love and truth. The process of deconstructing and rebuilding our beliefs is something every Christian should do, but it's very scary because oftentimes we don't even realize what we believe until those beliefs are called into question. So my question to you this morning is, what do you believe about God? Maybe you believe in a God that will save you from the present situation you're in because you have done all the right things, whatever that means, and that God is going to answer your prayers and you will be delivered from the problems that surround you. But you're praying and you're praying and God hasn't. So you're left feeling discouraged and angry at this God who has not followed the formula that you had clearly written out for him. That is what Peter and the disciples believed. They believed that Jesus was going to be an earthly king, and they had done everything right as good Jewish men and women, and that they knew that Jesus was going to come in and overthrow the Roman Empire. And that didn't happen. Maybe you have always believed in a God that causes evil and creates suffering in your life, and your functional image of God is a force that creates obstacles and suffering so that you can somehow be a better person. Suffering will create you into this sainthood of a person. I used to believe that. Maybe your functional image of God as father or male is very difficult for you because of the abuse that you have experienced from your own father. Maybe you see God as this distant, unloving, judgmental, and abusive God because you experienced that from your own dad or from other men in your life. And so when you read in Scripture that God is a good, good father, it's just hard for you to wrap your mind around that. When I was going through the most difficult time in my life, and of course it was during seminary, when I was working at a church, that's all good times are, I went to see the dean at Denver Seminary, Dr. McFarland, and he gave me the best wisdom I have ever received. He told me, the most important thing about you, Angie, is what you believe to be true about God. And he was right. Because what we believe about God flows into what we believe to be true about ourselves, about the hope in this world, about the people around us, about our families, about our purpose, everything. What we believe about God will manifest into every area of our lives. But the truth is, sometimes you can't believe by yourself. Sometimes you need other people to affirm and to believe for you. And that is why there is such an important community aspect to belief and faith. Jesus affirmed the disciples' belief in God, this God, Yahweh, who loved them so much and promised them a Savior, and he delivered. But when God didn't rescue them in the way that they were hoping, they feared. And that fear manifested in all sorts of ways surrounding Christ's resurrection. They denied Jesus, they hid, probably had some panic attacks and sweated a lot. They doubted. But they didn't go through those experiences alone. You see, when Jesus walked, or when Jesus was getting crucified and Peter walked away from the crucifixion scene weeping bitterly because he had denied Jesus, he didn't just stay there. He didn't just sit in that bitterness alone. He was with his friends. He was with his church. And when he thought all hope was lost, his community, the women, came barging in to give him the gospel. The gospel, which literally means the good news. And so Peter was brought back to life and belief when he wasn't able to believe for himself. The women said, "Come and see, Peter. See what God has done. He is not here. He is risen." And that is the most basic Christian invitation we have. Come and see. Come and see that the Lord is good. Come and see that the resurrection is real. Come and see that Jesus did what he said he would do. Come and see and believe. As followers of Jesus, we are invited to be a come and see kind of people, living in community with each other, being people who surrender our fears and our emotions that sometimes get the best of us, to encourage each other in believing in the truth, to believe in a God that brings love into hateful situations, to believe in a gospel that transforms lives and literally changes the people that are right before us, to believe that God does not keep us and leave us in the grave like we read in Scripture this morning, that God reaches into the grave and produces resurrection and life time after time after time. So on Pentecost, Peter and the disciples received the gift of the Holy Spirit that it had promised to them, and they were affirmed in their beliefs that God was going to take care of them, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead was the Spirit that was living in and among all of them now, and that because of that, anything was possible. That is why community is so important. Because when we get into our heads, we can forget what is true. And we let our emotions and our fears get the best of us. We need people to come into our lives, come alongside us, and remind us of truth versus lies. It's easy to believe in God, a God that is good on your own, until you suffer the loss of a child. It's easy to believe that God provides on your own until you lost that job that you knew that you would always have, that stability in your life. It is easy to believe in the concept of grace on your own, as long as you don't need it, until you've really screwed up and you have to come to God and those people in humility asking for grace. When we get into the darkness of cynicism and doubt, we need each other. That is why we were created, to be in community, to be in relationship with each other and with God. We need people to come rushing into our darkness and remind us of the truth of resurrection. For people to affirm the reality that God is not dead, he is surely alive. And that resurrected power of the Spirit was not just promised to the 12 disciples so long ago, but it is given to every single one of us today. And we need to stop putting bumper stickers on people's pain and suffering and walk away. We need to sit and cry with them as the church. Not to try and fix it, but to enter into that pain like Jesus does. Because when we're in those places of depression and despair and we just don't know upside down, right, wrong, what's going on in our lives, we need our community to remind us that Good Friday was good for a reason. That Jesus took our sorrows and our sufferings to the cross. Every pain, every broken dream, every abuse, every death, he took to the cross out of love for us. And he understands the suffering that we experience as our Savior. Shortly after I met with Dr. McFarlane, I decided that I wasn't able to see what was true in my life. I was clouded with darkness and debilitated by depression, so I leaned on the loving and safe people I trusted, my church family. And they told me what was true. They believed that God was going to redeem the darkness in my life, even when I couldn't believe it for myself. They believed that God loved me and was proud of me as his beloved child, even when I wasn't able to. They believed that I was capable and competent and anointed as a pastor when I doubted I would ever be. They believed because I couldn't. Belief can be borrowed. Belief is both deeply personal and sacred in its communal aspect. It's corporate. So my belief statement today is that I believe that God redeems our junk and the sin and evil around us. God doesn't create it or cause it. I believe that God doesn't cause suffering in order to make us better, stronger, somehow saint people. God enters into our suffering and pain as our suffering Savior who truly understands what we're going through, whose love was so great, he went to death on a cross for us. I believe that God's grace has the ability and the power to redeem any broken situation, any wickedness in any person, any desperate story, and that we don't always get what we pray for. And sometimes we do everything right, and things still fall apart. But God always gives us what we need, just usually looks differently. So if you haven't thought about what your functional image of God is, I encourage you to do that this week. Process it, deconstruct it, have courage in your moments of tension, and rebuild that belief from fear and lies to truth and love. Try writing it down. Write down a statement of faith for yourself this week, just like Peter said in Acts, just like I did today. Because belief is both personal and communal. It comes from our past, our trauma, our hope, and the people surrounding us. Every Sunday during this worship series, Rise Up, we will corporately affirm our beliefs as Christ followers. And so if you're struggling with belief this morning, that's okay. Come as you are. Borrow belief. Borrow the belief from the people around you in this room as we affirm our faith as Christians. And let the people next to you believe enough for both of you. That is all you need for now. So turn with me in your hymnals to number 881, and we will read and affirm the Apostles' Creed. This is the earliest creed in the Christian church, written by some of the early church fathers in Milan in 300 AD. Let us recite it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen.